Our religious vocation, therefore, is a vocation to practice the evangelical counsels. It's a vocation to make a commitment, which commitment implies a triple totality. But it is certainly a vocation, with all that we've just said, to do all of this in a specific religious community. As you know, it's the obvious things that we miss. Just because they're so obvious, we bump into them. People don't just have vocations to the religious life, period. No more than other people just have vocations to get married. Now that would be a strange vocation, to get married. The logic of the marriage vocation, as every girl knows, is very clear. Clear, I should add. I think you will know what I am saying. Then a lot of men conceive it. A woman gets married to one man. There is, to use a big word, a specificity about the married vocation. You don't just get married to humanity, or men to the female gender and women to the male. That would be promiscuity. Let's look at that analogy for a moment. It implies a lot of things that I think somewhere underlie all the chaos that we are now seeing, for example, in our own United States. Just as truly as marriage is specifically a, let's make that the woman, is married to be, make it the man, and not to, well, B or C or D or B on Monday and C on Friday or B, C, and D down through the alphabet. So a religious has a genuine vocation from Christ to a specific community. That is part of the divine plan. The implications are manifold. In fact, I ended up with 6. This is the reason why there are different communities in the church. And there are enough for every temperament and taste. There are different forms of apostolate. I spent a pleasant 2.5 weeks convalescing with the Little Sisters of the Poor outside of Chicago. Their unique apostolate, as conceived by their founders, Jean Jougan, was to care for the old who are poor. There are different approaches to the evangelical councils. Some concentrate on poverty. Some, like the Society of Jesus, pray for the Society of Jesus. As Ignatius told us, our specialty should be concentrating on obedience. as we know from the first moment we entered the hallowed halls of a convent, different temperaments and personalities. If we didn't know, we found out the first night. There are some who like the windows wide open. We don't. I discovered, for example, after a month or so in the novitiate, we make what we call a long retreat, 30 days of just about complete silence. One thing I made sure of, I did not have a Trappist vocation. A person, therefore, may have a religious vocation, but no one, mark these words, has a vocation to just any community, no more than a woman who has a vocation to marriage could be said to be called to marry anyone, and I put this in parentheses, and much less everyone. Mistakes here are crucial, and as we now know, can be disastrous. They point out two needs, and to bring in the retreat dimension, the difference between a retreat and, I suppose, a set of theological lectures is that in lectures you can listen if you're patient and enlighten your mind. In a retreat, you're supposed to do something. First, on the part of the community, especially its leaders, to know who they are from their boundaries. What has been that community's history? What is its distinctive spirit? A lot of homework needs to be done also by your community to more sharply and clearly delineate your distinctive spirits. And on the part of both prospective members and those who are members, on the part of the first to make a wise choice, on the part of all who are members of, say, your community, to see how I fit with my character, my temperament, into this community, which I firmly believe God has called me to. The fourth dimension. Beyond the vocation to the council, to a total commitment to a particular community, we are each called to follow Christ, those prior three vocations being assumed. Called to follow Him according to the special graces which He gives to me. And on this fourth level, no two vocations all the same. Why is it important to reflect on this? In other words, that a vocation is finally a very personal, individual thing. Because in each community, there are many, and what is more important, different roles to fill. In a teaching community like the Sisters of Notre Dame, surprise, there is need for teachers. You would think that every girl joining a teaching community would somehow assume that. our teachers. But it is a teaching community which not only needs teachers, it also needs academic administrators. You need principals. And all the principals that I know believe that somehow God blesses them, He better, to fulfill their unique role. For they would so like to teach. And as my novice master told us, one of the great joys of teaching is to be in the thick of the battle and to carry on one's cassock, the dust of battle, covered with chalk. What a challenge. Sisters who would like nothing more than that, yet some that I know may be taught for a year or two and have been in academic administration ever since. A teaching community requires academic administrators. It requires financial administrators. People who understand the value of money. Not all religions do. It also requires custodians of the property. Somebody who gets the grass cut and the roof fixed and the plumbing repaired. It also requires cooks. Now that is not prosaic, sisters. We are, and this is the way God made us, spirit. But what an important conjunction, also body. We eat, as Chardin said, in order to think. You just stop eating for a week, or you get the wrong kind of unpalatable, indigestible food for a month, and you won't be able to teach. Among the less well-known writings of St. Ignatius is a little honest cookbook. He wrote a book on cooking. And surprisingly, there are not a few recipes in it. And among the warnings that he makes to superiors is to make sure that the religious under their care are well fed. And I'm sure, unless you really dig deep in Ignatiana, you would never know there was a letter of St. Ignatius to Peter Canisius, two saints, in which Canisius wrote to Ignatius and asked him, "We're in trouble here in Germany. We got into a residence where everything is fine, except, and you'll appreciate this, the beer is impossible. Everybody is complaining." Ignatius wrote back, "I think you should think of moving." I want to make sure that our fathers have good beer. This is a saint and a mystic. A religious community, though dedicated to the teaching apostolate, needs those who take care of the laundry. care of transportation. I never thought I'd be asked whom I would want to live with. You know, we're living in apartments. I say this publicly as a witness. You can have it. So I chose to live with Brother Mike and Brother Tom. Brother Mike takes care of the transportation. Brother Tom is the mailman. We need people who take care of the cars and others who make sure that the mail is sent and received. I don't want to let go while I'm on this subject of two other kinds of people which your community also needs. Note the verb, needs. It also needs those who suffer. They are an essential part of the community. Thank God, the Lord has blessed your community with such. And it needs those whose unique apostolate is to pray. Now to know all of this is to live in a dream world, in a community that exists only in the imagination. Communities need cooks. They need people in the kitchen and laundry. They need, I repeat and underline the verb, they need people in the infirmary. A second reason why it is important for us to see that each of us, though called to a particular community, is being called to serve God in a particular way, besides the variety of needs. Because those who enter a community have different gifts and talents from God. Some have a talent for teaching young children. Others wouldn't know what to do. Some people's vocabulary, the children, wouldn't understand. Some have a talent for management. Watch this. Some have a talent for being managed. And frankly, having lived with too many religions for too many years, my own confreres, most of my work is counseling geriatrics. Brain. IQ, some, fantastic, 160, 165. But unless they also have the talent to be managed, they are worse than useless. You know what I am saying, sisters? There are some in a religious community who have the gift for dealing with persons. Others for dealing with ideas. Still others for dealing with things. There are a few. In fact, there was only one person, and he was divine, who had the most perfect combination of all three. God is glorified when there is diversity. And that's the nature of a community. But unified in a religious community by the common love which impels everyone to do her part in the upbuilding of Christ's kingdom. without envy that others have or can do what I cannot do. That's the nature of God's providence, sisters. Believe us. God gives some people talents which we don't have. That's the way He made the world. And without jealousy, He'd be willing to share what I have with others. Let's ask our divine Savior with apologies for making this. I didn't use a watch, but I'm afraid it was a long congress. Ask Him to teach us the meaning of all religious vocation, to the evangelical councils, to total commitment to this community, and to fidelity to the graces that Christ has given and is giving to me.
This tape was produced by Consortium Perfecta Caritatis. All rights are reserved.